Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Late night, midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is Michael Russo with my colleague Joe Smith, coming to you from Trier Rink, right in the middle of training camp. Our guest today is Pat Maroon, Joe's old pal from the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Joe, you know, it is funny. You know, you're getting old in the business when you get to cover players a couple times. That's happened to me a couple times. I actually covered, I think, Matt Cullen three times, once in Florida, twice here. Mark Parrish, both in Florida here. I'm pretty sure Daniel Charnquist was at a Wild training camp once, or at least was maybe on the first team that I covered. And I think Serge Paillet as well. There's been a couple others that I've covered a couple times, but this is probably your first time that you've covered a player twice, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, in baseball I did a little bit, but in hockey for sure. And it is still weird seeing him in Wild colors. I'm not going to lie to you. I know it's not his first rodeo in terms of being traded and being on several teams. He's obviously with the Blues and the Lightning, and even in the Flyer system before that. But yeah, he was such an integral part of that that leadership group and the team that won back-to-back cups. And it was such a close, tight-knit team that I was talking to you about yesterday. I was so amazed at how professional athletes, I know it's part of the business, but they can separate. This next day, hey, I'm part of the Wild. This is my team. And all the guys that were like family to me, like, I'm sorry, but I'm gone. You know, like just, that's part of being a pro, I guess. But I think he's already ingratiated himself to the Wild team, got out with some beers and lunches with some of the guys. And I'm sure you've seen them around town, went to the Old Dominion concert with a bunch of the guys. So I think the Wild will find out, especially in that Sweden trip, how good he is at getting guys together.
Yeah, and he actually went to Sweden with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you were there as well. I can't wait for that trip. You're going to have to, although I was just there, but you'll have to show me the real sights, because I was just basically checking out Old Town and going to the hotel every day to interview players. You know, Pat's an interesting guy. I mean, won a cup with the Blues, goes to Tampa Bay and wins two cups with the Lightning, goes to a fourth straight Stanley Cup final, and very easily could have won that series as well. He is a winner. Do you buy into the whole pedigree, though, that a player just knows how to win, and adding that element to a locker room could help a team like this one that we both know has trouble maybe getting past that first round? Not maybe, they do. I think he could help.
Well, I mean, you can't just single-handedly lift them to a Stanley Cup, but I think there are certain moments in a season we've all seen, there's ruts or ups and downs where a guy like that, you know, guys listen to them. He has that kind of pedigree. He has the voice, and people, when he speaks, they'll listen. And so I think there are a lot of times, even in the Lightning seasons, where he was able to say something or calm guys down or get guys going and stuff. So I think that there is a value to having a guy that, instead of saying, hey, we hope to win a Stanley Cup, we think we can do it, this guy actually knows the ingredients in the room. So does Alex Galgoski, and obviously so Marc-Andre Fleury. So to have more winners in a room can't hurt, especially for the role he's going to play. I mean, he's not going to be playing 20 minutes a night. Another part of his role, other than being kind of the energy and kind of a voice in the room, which they've lost Matt Dumba and they lost Ryan Reeves, is that element on the ice. Like, he holds people accountable. Like, he'll fight Zdeno Chara twice in a game. You know, he'll when he talks, he'll back it up. And so I think that's something that'll be really important with guys like Kirill and Boldy. If people want to take liberties, they know that they have a guy like him. And obviously Foligno can fight too, and Duhaime, but to have a guy like that definitely makes it a little bigger on the bench, I think.
Wild, let's talk a little bit about training camp and what we've seen so far. The Wild will have, by the time this podcast comes out, have played a couple exhibition games in Colorado and Dallas. We have a couple cool stories coming this week. You have a Kalen Addison story that just came out this weekend. You have a Pat Maroon feature, coincidentally, coming up this week. I have a couple Erickson X stories coming from Stockholm that I did, or actually, excuse me, Karlstad, his hometown, I did with him. Everybody that's listened to this podcast or listens to me knows that I visited Sweden last month, and then one part of my trip, I went up to Karlstad, sat down with Erickson Ek and his family. So I'm going to turn that into a couple stories, one that runs now, one that runs later in camp or right before the season. So we have some real cool coverage coming up. Let's talk about our first story that we did in camp. It was, sights and sounds of observation of the first day, and the biggest sight and sound that we saw was Kirill Kaprizov talking to us largely in English, extremely tan, as Marcus Foligno joked to you guys, sun-kissed hair. He looked like, let's put it this way, 2 years ago when he came to camp after his holdout, or contract dispute, we should say, to get him signed, Dean Evason went up to him and said, "You look chunky." He doesn't look chunky right now. He looks trim, fit as a fiddle, and ready to go.
And he looks motivated, very motivated. I know that's a very popular term to use in training camp on day one, like everybody's motivated, but he's a legit superstar in this league, and how superstars are viewed in their legacy is by winning. And I think nothing means more to Kirill Kaprizov than winning. So the way that the playoffs went down last year, he wasn't 100% or wasn't ready because of the injury. He had missed the last month of the season. So I'm sure if they get back to the playoffs again, he'll be fired up for that. But I just was impressed how at ease he was in English and how much fun he had talking to us. And I think that's only going to help him as season goes on, handling all those responsibilities off the ice and being able to communicate in English. He said he watches movies that'll help him learn English, but having that part is such a underrated part of someone's life and game, when they can understand English, can communicate with teammates, and even deal with the press and not have to worry about how many times we're going to request them. And he just has that relationship, I think, that's going to be really important going forward. But he looked like he's ready to go and looked like he's, kind of maturing into his young age here in the NHL.
Yeah, he is their best player, and he's growing into a leadership role. What he does on the ice, they all follow, and you kind of wonder if later in camp, maybe, while we've all been almost earmarking the fact that Erickson Ek would get the A and assume Matt Dumba's role, you don't need a letter on your chest to be a leader, and maybe Erickson Ek continues in that role, not having the A. It's him and Brodin, who have been here forever, and maybe you go and give it to a guy like Kaprizov, who you also have to re-sign in a couple years. Let's talk about some of the other stuff that happened that day. The only piece of news that day wasn't really news, but it was kind of news because Marc-Andre Fleury was addressing his future. We both know that he's 8 wins away from passing Patrick Waugh for second all-time in regular season victories. He didn't want to go anywhere this summer. He made it very clear in his last press conference of last season that he was not going to waive his no move, that he wanted to fulfill his contract here and not move his wife and kids, put them in new schools. He was even willing to take a back seat to Filip Gustavsson in that scenario as well. So he wasn't saying, "I got to split time or be the number one." But the one thing that he said is that he will decide after the season if he hangs it up or not. And he said he doesn't want to think about it at all during the year, because there are going to be ups and downs. He doesn't want to, after every bad game, think that I should quit now. If after every great game, I should sign a 3-year extension. Pretty Marc-Andre Fleury answer that day.
It is. And if you watch him in practice, and it's hard to think that he's at the end of his career. He's flopping around, chasing every puck. He's doing push-ups after he gives up a bad goal. Yeah. Like, he just has so much, fun playing the game. You kind of forget that he's later on in his career, is like 38 or something like that, years old. And so I think it'll be hard for him not to think about that this year. He's passing some really major milestones, and I'm sure it'll be helpful to listen to his body at the end of the year, listen to his family, and see, hey, do I want to go through this again? So maybe how this year goes will play into it. Maybe if him and Filip Gustavsson do split time, he does have a really good year. Maybe that gives him an idea, hey, I can still play another year with somebody else or even stay here. So definitely one of the most respected players in the National Hockey League, and it will be a worse place when he's not in it.
Yeah, absolutely, especially for the beat writers. Jujhar Khaira is somebody that we both met for the first time the other day. I don't even think I've ever interviewed him in a scrum. A really nice guy, great quote, really easy to transcribe, which is the most important part of being a great quote. Some great quotes.
Put him on the roster. Okay, let's do it.
Some great quotes that we both know well are not easy to transcribe, I should say, in one of them being Marcus Foligno. He is, man, does he talk fast. But Kara, really nice and simple and everything. And, you know, right now in camp, Ryan Hartman is a little banged up. He took part in all of practice, you know, mostly. Yep, Saturday. Exactly. But came off during battle drills the other day. I don't think they think it's a major thing. It's an upper body injury that he suffered in the weight room. And the Freddie Goudreau is a placeholder in the number one line. He's supposed to be the right wing, Marco Rossi and Marcus Foligno. Kara took that right wing spot, even though he's a center. So he's more of a placeholder for Goudreau. 6'4", penalty killer, likes to fight, but he's had, you know, the back injuries, had concussions. Trouba almost decapitated him a couple years ago. What do you expect from Kara? What do you hear about him from talking to Billy Guerin and Dean Evason?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, it was rare to have a power forward in this game. He's not a traditional power forward, and he's not going to be a big-time scorer, but he's hard to play against, which fits the grit-first model that they have here. Really good in the forecheck. You know, obviously good in the penalty kill, defensive-minded forward. He could chip in, you know, good hands around the net, but just quality depth to have at a very cheap price, right? And that's really important to think about him and Vinny Lettieri. Why I think they have a more of a leg up on making the team if they need a 13th forward or if there's an injury, because they're at the, what, 775 AAV, which the Wild only have, I think, at this point, 862 or something like that, left in the cap space.
818,
so,
actually.
818. Yeah. So I think they're really down to the nitty gritty there. So, but I think having a guy like him with experience playing on Chicago and Edmonton, obviously very motivated player to kind of stay in this league and establish his role, kind of like Vinny Lettieri is too. So I think you have some guys that are hungry, that are trying to fight for regular spots. And competition only helps in training camp, right? Even though there's no really roster spots that we can really see, barring injury on this team, Mike, unless Marco Rossi, we'll get to him later, really kind of falters. I think that it's good to have, because his injury happens in exhibition game number three. You have a guy who can kind of come in and play center, can play wing and play for you.
All the guys that were hurt at the end of the year are healthy, with the exception of Hartman, but it's a different injury. But Goudreau's healthy. Foligno says he's feeling 100%. Zuccarello looks good on the ice. And Eriksson Ek says he has no ill effects.
He's from the flying around. Yeah. Like the guy is like number one in testing every year. And he's,
it's
like
crazy. Yeah, it's the one constant with this team is, you know, first round exits and Eriksson Ek being the number one in fitness test. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
If you work for the Wild, I apologize. If you're a fan of the Wild, I apologize for that. Every now and then, you got to take a shot. You're a resident Brock Faber beat writer at The Athletic. You've hung out with his, you did the great story there watching his, was it his debut with his buddies? What was it? I can't remember the story.
Yeah, it was the home debut.
Yeah, the home debut.
Yeah, and watched with his roommates from the Gophers, and that was fun. They were having a great time, and I was happy to be there for.
And you've written a ton of great stuff on Brock, and, you know, I was really struck by, he's so humble, and we've all known that he was going to be Jonas Brodin's defense partner coming into camp. And even the other day, he's like, yeah, you know, he grew up a Wild fan, so he's watched Brodin forever. And he said how surreal it was to play, to be defense partners with Brodin, even if it was only for one day of training camp, where we both know, like, he was acting like he was going to be taken off the next day. Still drives his Jeep Wrangler from 2009, I think it is, from 190,000 miles.
Living in a hotel. I think we all penciled him in as a top four, and he was like, I'm going to stay in the hotel until I make the team, until they tell me to get my own place. Like, that's a great attitude to have. Like, I'm sorry, Brock, you're going to be on this team, but like, I love when players like don't take anything for granted and just, you know, he's like, hey, until they tell me to get my own apartment, I'm going to be at the lovely Marriott for a while.
I did a Q&A with Dean Evason last week, and hopefully everybody read the two parts that we turned it into, Joe and myself. But the one thing that Brock, he said about Brock is that, look, he knows that there might be times where it might be overwhelming as a rookie to go out there and play against McKinnon, McDavid, Tkachuk, whoever that we see, Austin Matthews. You know, it's going to be the Matty Knies versus Brock Faber show in game two in Toronto. But especially at home, there might be times if there are tough matchups and he's struggling that maybe you pair him with Middleton and you really load up and go with a Brodin Spurgeon pair to go up against those top defensemen. But he just seems like somebody that I know that he thinks he could do it. And I think the Wild actually think he could do it. But it's nice to have that security blanket in your back pocket of Spurgeon.
Yeah, just in case. But I really do think, I mean, they're going to give him a good run at it. And I think they'll let him get through some growing pains at first, unless it goes really sideways, and then maybe for some shifts and put Spurgeon there. But, you know, everybody has to go through it the first time, right? Even Brodin did the first time. Matt Dumba did it for the first time. So I think he's been preparing himself all summer for this. And having a guy like Brodin on his left side is going to be so like a security blanket, so to speak, and a guy who can kind of erase some of his mistakes and be kind of a mentor to him. So I think that'll be a really, really good second pair for the Wild this year.
And again, hopefully everybody read Joe's Jared Spurgeon sit down and that one-on-one that they had last week, and then the Dean Evason Q&A where he touches not only a lot of stuff on hockey but a lot of fun personal stuff too. Tells you also that he's going to tone it down with the refs this year. That's the plan, at least.
That's the plan until something goes crazy in game one. Like, that's got to be so hard for coaches to keep it in, but I think it does have an effect on the mood of your team or the vibe of your team if the coach is complaining and bitching at the refs, and all of a sudden it just kind of gets guys riled up and they can do it. So, and plus these refs are human. You know a lot more refs than I do, Mike. Like, it's hard to shut that off of, like, this guy was...
They hold grudges.
This guy was in my ear the whole time. Like, I'm going to come back to Minnesota. This guy's going to be better. It was short leash, just like in football, too.
Yeah. No, they do. They might say they don't. They do. Marco Rossi.
Is Rossi or Rossi?
We're going to go back to Rossi. It's just easier, even though I think it's really Rossi.
You can roll your R's better than I can.
I don't know. He basically said, if people don't know, it was Rossi, then he changed it last year to Rossi, and now he says he basically doesn't care. Like a lot of European players do. They Americanize it for us idiots, and that's what he's willing to do this year. So he basically said, call me Rossi yesterday. So we're going to go back to that. At least he didn't change his number and spelling or something. Let's talk about Rossi, though. He's put on 15 pounds since last training camp. The one thing that has been a little misconception is that it was 15 pounds over the summer. He came into camp last year at 175. He's 190 this year. So, 15 pounds since last year. He changed his skating stride. I talked to Matt Harder for the Story of the Wild strength coach, and he told me all the stuff that they did in the gym. What was really interesting is he in the strength test, which is, essentially they measure your strength and speed with trap bars relative to your body weight and how fast you move them. And he was third in camp behind, obviously, Eric Sinek and, believe it or not, Sammy Walker. And then I talked to Andy Ness, their skating and skills coach, and he basically said that he was not pushing and loading and that they completely tweaked his, I wouldn't say tweaked, they kind of overhauled his stride. You can see he's much more on the puck, over top the puck right now when you watch him in practice. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I see is that he looks quicker, even though, who knows if it actually it affects his speed. But the one thing that Andy said is when you push and you load the way that he is now, it helps everything. Your stride, your power of your stride, your efficiency, your speed. And so now what he showed Joe, and you sat down with him in June, is that he did the work in the summertime. Now we have to, it's going to be interesting how we measure his training camp, because last year he led the league in points. So if he has a bunch of points in the preseason games again, it's going to be hard to really, buy into it until we see those lights come on against the Florida Panthers in Toronto, in Montreal, then the homestand, and see if he actually, if all this work that he did in the offseason, transitions right onto the ice.
Yes, it's gonna be weird to, like, if he has a preseason where he scores a lot of points, like, oh, not just annoyed him that way, but I think they're looking underneath the hood a little bit in terms of all that stuff, the loading and the skating and the strength will be great for puck protection. It'll be great for creating for himself. I mean, last year, and you saw the NHL, like, it wasn't like he was close to getting points. It wasn't like he was like hitting three crossbars and getting into the right areas. Like, I think he's needs to create for himself. He needs to add that, I guess, that FU attitude that Billy said last year at Iowa, which he felt like he got his confidence back. But until you see all those other parts of his game coming together, it won't just be points that they'll be looking at this preseason. It'll be looking at all the other parts of it.
I know they want to obviously start off with Eric Sinek playing with Boldy and Johansson, and they're just assuming that Hartman's going to play with Zuccarello and Kaprizov, and that Rossi's going to play with Goudreau and Foligno. But does it surprise you that with Hartman a little banged up, that they wouldn't just throw him a bone and say, hey, you know what? You did a great job this summer. That you showed commitment and determination by not going back to Austria, staying here. You did all the work here. Skate with Kaprizov and Zuccarello early in camp. Instead, they go to the security blanket of Freddie Goudreau. Is it surprising you that they haven't given him that little bone?
Yeah, it surprised me a little bit, just in the sense, like, what would it hurt, right? I mean, other than getting all the eyeballs and social media clicks on him with Kaprizov and getting all the hype ready for, right? Unless they don't want to get themselves in that situation where they have to kind of like, if he goes back and then, but I think it would be do really wonders for a kid to be playing on a line with those guys, even if preseason, even if it's camp, just to be, get a feel for what they're like, you know, it's just in case during the season you want to put him in there. Mm-hmm. He has a little bit of chemistry with them. He can see, talk to them in between shifts in the line where they're waiting for drills. Like it couldn't hurt. And so I, especially if it's Hartman's only like a 2 or 3 day thing, like why not start the camp with it?
Yeah.
Not that we'll blow it out of proportion, right, Mike? And I like, well, we turn into he's a top line center again. But I think if you want to reward guys for that kind of work in the summertime, at least give them a taste of it.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it is priority number one that he's got to create this incredible chemistry right 3 weeks before the start of the season with Marcus Foligno. Like, I think it would have been a huge confidence lift for him to play with those guys and to also feel that Dean and Billy, you know, still, you know, think he's a huge part of this organization. I think if you want the guy to make an impact, you got to lift his confidence because a lot of it is between the ears right now. And, you know, the one thing talking about Erickson Ek, and Erickson alluded to this the other day with and when asked about Rossi. And I know what he was trying to say, too, because I have had long conversations with Erickson Ek in Sweden about what it is like for Europeans to come over here when they're 21, 22 years old. You know, we all expect them to be these finished products. But just imagine if you were an American hockey player and had a parachute into Sweden or Austria, not knowing the language, not knowing the culture, not knowing how to live, not knowing how to drive, all that stuff. It would be super, super, super difficult. And I think that is what all of us need to just remember with Rossi. He lost a year of playing, one, his development, but two, this is a kid that's lived in small town Austria, has not had the, you know, and then you parachute him into Minnesota, Des Moines, whatever, and you expect him to just be Marco Rossi also after missing a year. I think that we all need to remember that. I think a lot of us, when Erickson Ek was 21, 22, 23, figured, you know, it's time to run this guy right out of here, that he did not look like he was going to be the guy that we see on the ice now. And now at 26, you look at him as probably their most irreplaceable player. And I think that we got to remember Rossi just turned 22 here on Saturday. You know, there's plenty of time before we have to start using the B word that some fans seem to love throwing around now with him.
And I think if this franchise wasn't so, and I'd say we're desperate, but so much seeking a number one center for a long time, I don't think this would be quite as much of a rush, right? People think, oh, top 10 pick, he's a center, which you need. Like, there's probably, in a sense, going to be a rush from a fans or outside perspective. Like, hey, this would fix all the problems in the world if this guy was like the number one, which it very well be very important for this franchise if he can turn out to be the guy that they think he is. But you're right. I think young players, especially coming from Europe, and also, you know, different playing pro there versus playing pro here, your lifestyle changes. You know, it's hard to not see that the bullseye on you or the focus on you or the articles written about you. And so I just think overall, you know, he's such a mature kid. We talked to you some more time with him than I have, but such a grounded, mature kid, obviously determined. He works his ass off. So I think then all these little things are working for him, just a matter of getting out there and kind of proving on the ice. And so hopefully he gets a chance to do that.
Last question before we get to Pat Maroon. You and I are going to be working on our Monday columns that we plan to make a constant all season. We started that last year in the second half. And so every Monday, Athletic subscribers can expect a dual column by Joe and myself on the Wild notebook, some fun things that maybe we didn't get in during the week, things like that. Our first one's going to run Monday. And it's going to be the topic on their unrestricted free agents. The Wild have a slew of them. You know, the big three are Foligno, Zuccarello, and Hartman. But there's Duhaime, there's Fleury, there's Maroon, there's Goligoski, there's Kara, obviously.
You'll have some RFAs, too. Like, Addison will be an RFA. So you'll have different things like
there's
that.
There's definitely guys like that. But let's talk about the big three here. You know, I'm trying to get a sense of what the Wild are trying to do. And reading the tea leaves, I do get a sense that they have started to have preemptive talks, let's call them, with at least Foligno and Zuccarello, maybe even Hartman as well. I think personally, I feel like, you know, like, what's the rush? Let's see how they do this year, because, you know, frankly, if you want them back too, if they do regress this year and miss the playoffs, you could be a seller at the deadline. These would be valuable chips, and you could trade them and even get them back if you wanted to. So I personally feel like, what's the rush? Unless The term is perfect, and the salary is perfect. Now, I think Marcus Foligno is somebody that Billy Guerin values extremely in this organization, and I think that he would like to get something done, even under the same contract that he's working on now, which, if I remember, was four years, around three.
Yeah.
I think he would give them that right now. Zuccarello is the interesting one here, because we all know that how important he is to Kirill Kaprizov, but they also got these European prospects coming here in Yurov and Kuznetsov and Ogren, hopefully, if he's healthy. Right now he's got a back issue that they're trying to figure out what how long he's going to be out. It sounds pretty serious. But it, you know, to me, first of all, he'd have to take an incredible haircut on his $6 million a year, Zuccarello. But it's got to be a midterm or shorter, right? It's got to be 2-3 years max for a guy that's already, what, 36?
36. I mean, he's obviously still a very, you know, impactful player. He's a top line player for this team. So I don't see him necessarily slowing down. But as you get the aging curves for any player, I don't think they want to give him a like a long term deal. But I guess it depends on how much he likes it here, how much, you know, that chemistry with Zuccarello is important. And I know we have those prospects are coming for the Wild, but you know, you don't know until you see them, right? They're still right now, they're still on the other
coast. And I think that's how they feel.
They're like, they don't know where they are. Yeah. So like, you want to be a competitive team next year too. Maybe if you want to do a couple year deal with Zuccarello, I don't know how many years he wants to play. We haven't talked to him recently about it, but you know, if he doesn't want to move his, he has a young family too. I can see him maybe want to do a short term deal if he wants to stick around here.
Hartman's the interesting one because this organization does love him. Mm-hmm. Dean loves him. Billy loves him. But he also just signed the most team-friendly contract maybe ever in the three-year 1.7. It's wrapping up. You know, you almost wonder if he, I know he loves it in Minnesota, and I know his wife's from here.
Yeah.
But you kind of do wonder if, like, his agent's like, all right, now you got to make up for this little bargain that we just gave you the last 3 years and up his salary, especially if it's a big year. Mm-hmm. So that's the interesting one to me. Does he sign another team-friendly deal because he just loves Minnesota? Or is he going to be looking to break bank here, especially if it was a big year? And if that's the case, he could be priced out.
He could be priced out. I mean, like, I think the team loves him. I think he's a great guy to have in this team. Like, he could play. He fits, like, kind of like what Billy liked to play like when he was in his career. So I think he loves that part of him. But yeah, I mean, this is, you only have so many chances to make your fortune, right? Or make your money. And on this team, he's the number one center. So he's like, I'm a number one center. What should I get paid? Shouldn't I get paid like number one center, right? Like,
Austin Matthews just got 14.
Well, not quite that, but like number one center who scored 30 goals in his past. Like, you know, I think that's a pretty good negotiating point, especially if there's not this flood of number of centers coming through this organization yet. So I don't know. I think you'd have some leverage there. But I think you're right. If that could be a guy where at the deadline, if things go sideways, he would get a lot of value, I think, in the market. And
heck, he went for a first round pick a couple of years ago from Chicago to Nashville.
Yeah. So I think he's much more established now. So you can, if you deal him then, you can always re-sign him in summertime if that's the particular case. But I agree with you in the sense it's why rush unless that deal is perfect and it makes sense from a cap perspective the next couple of years. But because that would be a much more fascinating deadline than you probably covered in a long time to have a three huge pending UFAs that would,
but even guys like Duhame, anybody at the deadline would want somebody like him, you know, like
there's Maroon,
there's a lot of players on this team. Goose, I mean, he didn't want to go anywhere last year, so he probably won't this year, but you know, if he's been scratched 30 straight games at that point, maybe that's the way to get him out of here. You know, he might be like, all right, hand up, it's time. Foligno, though, is the one that we haven't really talked about yet. As I would put him, if you had to list him, probably he'd be the guy that might be first up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Billy just absolutely thinks he's invaluable to this locker room and to the on this team on the ice.
He is. He's a big part of their culture, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could only lose so many of those chip away. Like, you lose Dumba and all that stuff like that. I think he's a really important part of this group. And he can still play. Like, you know, I think this is a big year for him. You know, he's not going to be necessarily, doesn't have to be a 25-goal scorer like he was a few years ago. But he gets back to his physicality and forecheck and effective both ends of the ice and scores 15 goals. Like, that's a very valuable power forward guy to have. But if he goes on the much less than Austin Matthews salary there, if he gets in that $3 million range, I think that it'd be an easy one for them to get done early in the season.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how quickly some of these get done, because for a while I thought that Billy was going to wait. And now I'm starting to read the tea leaves that they're at least talking. And If players usually want to stay in a place and a team wants that player to stay, there's always a way to get it done. So we could see.
And with injuries that these guys have been through, like I would say if you want to get security, like, hey, if I'm Ryan Hartman or even Foligno, like I've had some injuries in my past, why not?
Yeah.
Before I even get, you know, that's the worst thing that could happen in a contract year, right? Is to get banged up. So,
yeah, no, it's a good point. And so that's why I'm starting to just wonder if we see these extensions come across our laptops pretty soon. We'll see.
One guy we didn't get to is Cale Madison. Speaking of guys getting their contract year, and we kind of joked that it was like the worst holdout of all time because he was here all summer working out, even though he was a RFA with no contract.
Yeah, he didn't hide the fact that he wasn't.
he was here all the time.
Let's put it this way. Like, you know, 2 years ago, Wild fans will remember that Billy Guerin had to get on a private jet to go get Kaprizov in Miami and bring him here on the eve of camp. He didn't have to do that with Cale Madison. No.
He was in Minnesota all summer. And to his credit, like, he wanted to prove that he wants to be here, that he, you know, is a part of this group going forward. He loves the guys on the team. He loves the area. So a big part for him is much less training camp talk, which we were impressed with his press conference the other day because he said all the right things and he came across as sincere, is that he had that different mentality of, hey, I need to prove myself again. And I need to learn from Jared Spurgeon. I need to be in the right areas. I need to be able to be smarter on my own end, which has been always the biggest issue with him. He's really skilled and great in the power play, but he needs to bring that grit and that defensive awareness and hockey sense to the other end. So he said all the right things, and it'll be very important to see what he does in the preseason and camp, because they're going to give him that opportunity.
Yep.
To be that third pairing D, right? So I don't know what you're looking for from him this camp.
Came in unbelievably fit, 7% body fat, which, by the way, this morning I measured my pinky and it was 7% body fat. So there we go. Hey, Joe, really appreciate it. Without further ado, let's get to Pat Maroon.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, as mentioned, Joe Smith, Michael Russo, really happy to be joined by Pat Maroon, the newest member of the Minnesota Wild. And Pat, this, you know, after July 1, this really did, you know, come right out of the blue. You were actually at Ryan McDonough's cabin in Balsam Lake. And if you could kind of remind everybody about that whole phone call and how that all came about.
Yeah, obviously, we were at dinner up in Balsam Lake, and I got a text from Julian say, please call me. And I showed Ryan, I said, I'd probably get traded. He's like, probably not. Maybe he's just asking about a player since, you know, it's close to free agency. I don't know, was it the day after?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the day after. And time I stood up, he was calling me, and I walked outside, and he's like, hey, you've been traded. So it's kind of a short and sweet call, but yeah. Obviously, my time in Tampa was great. You know, winning 2 Stanley Cups, going to the 3 Stanley Cup finals. Good core guys. Obviously, I'm going to miss it there a lot, but, you know, it's always nice to move on. And I'm kind of used to it now. But coming back to sit down, I was like, I've been traded. And they're like, you're lying to me. I'm like, no. And they're like, to where? And I'm like, you're not going to believe it. I'm like, fucking Minnesota. So that happened, and obviously the wife is upset, crying a bit. Obviously, it's always hard for the wives to come in and be a part of a new team. For us guys, it's easy because we get to go in and meet 25 or 23, you know, guys that you can be friends with right away, and you're with them right away. So it's easy to adapt for them. I think it's a little bit harder moving families. So, but certainly excited for this transition. Seemed like my time in Tampa was, you know, just maybe running still a bit, you know, in and out of the lineup. So yeah, you know, but I can't thank Julian and Koo for giving me the opportunity to, you know, prove what I can bring to a team. And yeah, it was awesome. I live there now, Tampa, and like I said, they were so nice to me, Julian and Darcy and Coop and all assistants were so great to me. And obviously my time there was so much fun, but I'm also super excited to be on a team that's trying to do the same thing Tampa was 4 years ago.
Yeah. You're around two Minnesota guys, right? And McDonough and then Goligoski. I'm sure what was kind of their sales job of telling you, what was their impressions of telling you what you're like about being
here? Yeah, I think, yeah, obviously Kaylee and Ryan were helping us out right away. They know Minnesota in the back of their hands. And obviously the next day we anchored up with Goose and his wife, and you know, they were talking and making us feel comfortable and where to live, where not to live, and you know, where all the guys live. So it's always comfortable, but obviously it's fresh too, so you're still kind of shocked in a way, and you're still not trying to process any of that. Still July, you still have 3 months before training camp, so you're not trying to really think about, you know, where you're going to live. You know, I know they're trying to help us out in a way, and it's really nice. And Ryan and Kaylee were so sweet and trying to find a way to calm us down a bit. But at the end of the day, it's part of the business. But they were so helpful. Goligoski's and obviously Ryan and Kaylee are top notch, and they were helping us out tremendously. And yeah, we made sure to have a party too after that. So we had fun after the trade. So yeah, we made sure to have fun.
Yeah, July 4th on Balsam Lake. It could be fun. That's what I was struck by on your conference call the next day on Zoom, is how professional you were. Like, you know, sometimes you're traded from a team like Tampa, well, not just the lifestyle down there, but how great the team is, how close knit it is. You wonder what the reaction is to be suddenly traded to a team that, like the Wild, that's trying to get to that spot, as you mentioned. But I was shocked at just watching you on that Zoom. It felt like you turned the page, even though all this was going on in the background with your wife and just the shock and awe of getting traded.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been traded before, and I think it's being traded, that means a team wants you, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that a GM wants you, a coach wants you, or someone wants you in that organization that has belief in you, and maybe that can help their team. Listen, I'm not going to help their team. You know, I'm going to try my best to get on the score sheet every night, you know, help my teammates, protect my teammates, make them feel bigger every night, you know, try to produce and try to bring energy for the locker room and just a voice where, you know, I can maybe guide some people. And, you know, like, at the end of the day, it's part of the business, and it's exciting too. Like, it's an opportunity to keep playing and, you know, prove Minnesota I can still do this and, you know, help a team and, you know, 31 other teams too. So it's not always, you know, you can't really look at it as a negative. It's usually a positive in my mind, because you get an opportunity to go prove another team. Yep. And hopefully it extends my career. You know, I'm going to keep playing as long as I can. And, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to come to a new team, fresh team, and prove, you know, why I'm worth something.
You've been the new guy several times, of course. And I think about the Lightning years, where you came into an established locker room. Guys have been there forever. And, like, established leaders, and you're able to have a voice right away. Like, just what's the key in your mind of being the new guy coming into a team like this one too, has been together a long time, and you know, having your become an impact in the room as a voice, as kind of a personality with the group?
Yeah, I think most importantly, you don't want to do it right off the bat. You just kind of read the room, and you know, if people ask me questions, I'll answer them, or if people want me to speak up, I'll speak up. And I think you just kind of have to read the room, and you know, and just kind of see where we're at that time. But, you know, I just try to bring energy in the room. I speak up. I say I'm pretty honest to guys, and I don't really shy away from that. But I think that's good, because guys respect that more, and, you know, guys want to hear that stuff, hear criticism. But it's not criticism. It's just like, you know, I'm here for you. We want to do the right things, or, you know, we don't want to keep doing the wrong things, right? So for me, I just try to do as much as I can and you know, bring that happy energy, you know?
What stands out to me too is the guys I talked to at Tampa that early on that year, they're just still kind of hurt from the year before in Columbus. And they mentioned how they're still kind of living in the past a bit. And you were one of the vocal voices of saying, what was your kind of message to them when they kind of, you kind of sense that they needed a little bit of a, you know, turn the page there? And how do you kind of sense how you were able to kind of help with that?
Yeah, for sure. Because I was getting asked questions about it, and I wasn't even part of the team. And I thought, I was like,
darn Joe, you should have known that.
But I think, yeah, I just told the guys, and, you know, when we had leadership group, it's just like, stop talking about Columbus. Columbus is over. This is now. It's present. This is what we can control. And, the same core groups here, maybe a couple new faces, but why we focus on that? Why don't we turn the page and go find an opportunity to get better and work on things that didn't work last year, right? And I think that's the most important thing, I think. And obviously defensive thing was a big thing for them, and we focus on being a defensive team, but we still had a high-power offense that we can still create. And I think we sent that message, and that's what the message was. And I think at the end of the day, if you want to move forward in the playoffs, you got to defend, and you know, you got to not be hemmed in your zone. You got to break out cleaner, and once you break out fast, you're playing in your offense and your strengths. And I think that was the message, and finding ways to play those 2-1 hockey games, those 3-2 hockey games, and you know, playing the right way, because at the end of the day, the ice shrinks come you know, March, April, May, and June. So we just try to get past that message and just say fuck Columbus, it's over, and we just got to focus on the 22 guys that are in this locker room and whoever comes to us and you know, in the trade deadline. So, and make sure the message is we're here to win a Stanley Cup and we're going to prove everyone wrong, kind of thing.
That's exactly what Carroll was saying the other day about the Wild last year. It's like last year's last year. We're just looking at this year. We're talking to Pat Maroon. 3 straight cups, went to 4 straight finals. The 2019 Cup, I was blown away when we were walking over here, and you said your son Anthony was 15, because I still envision him as that kid watching from afar on TV, you know, crying when you're scoring the big goals and all that stuff. Man, does time fly. Coming now here to showcases and things like that. But looking back on the last 3 or 4 years, how just special it has it been for not only your son Anthony, but your family as well, here in Minnesota now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if someone had told me this 5 years ago, what happened the last, you know, 4 years, I would have said you're full of shit, right? but I think for me to go back home and live out my childhood dream, which was to always, you know, play in the NHL for one, but to put on a blue note jersey, a team that I watched growing up my whole life, and to have my son be a part of that. But you know, my mom and dad, my brothers, my sister, my wife and her family, and my friends, and to have them witness, you know, obviously not the beginning of the year, but you know, how we kind of took over halfway through the year at the end there, and kind of just said, screw everyone else, here's how we're going to play, and this is what we're going to do. And we had that swagger that a lot of teams didn't have, right? Yeah. And we stuck with it, and we got goaltending when we needed it. But I think at the end of the day, winning the Stanley Cup in front of my – that's the most important thing, is lifting the Stanley Cup and being from St. Louis was unbelievable. I mean, you know, watching my parents cry, hugging them, you know, in Boston, I think you kind of – you know, all those car rides with your parents and going to Chicago, Detroit, and listening to your parents' music that you don't want to listen to, kind of just all paid off in one. But I had the opportunity to do it in my hometown. It was really unique. Yeah. But I think moving forward and, you know, winning 2 and then winning 3, it was just like, holy shit, I can't believe this. And almost winning 4. But, you know, that's what, you know, being on good teams and being on good leadership teams and being with players I understand and taking the next step and willing to sacrifice some things that they probably weren't doing in the past. Yeah. And I think that's the key to that. And you learn so much, and I've learned so much from playing in Anaheim to Edmonton to Jersey and all these teams of leadership groups and being a leader and, you know, how to come to the rink every day. And I think that's the most important thing. But obviously at the end goal, you want to lift the Stanley Cup. But it's, I can't write the script, but it's been an amazing, you know, 4 years. For my family, my son got to witness something a lot of kids that probably don't get to witness a lot. Yeah. And I think that's a unique situation.
Tell us a little more about your parents, because one of the cool thing during, you know, when you went to the 4th straight final, I was helping Joe cover the series for The Athletic, and I said to Joe, I'm like, we got to do a Pat Maroon story, but you've written everything that possible. And you're like, call his parents. And I remember sitting on this patio of the Sheraton along the water, howling, listening to your mom and dad speak to me on the phone, like just laughing my ass off to some of their stories and everything.
Yeah.
You know, how supportive have they been for your career, and just what have they meant to you?
Yeah, I was parents. They sacrifice so much, and when you have kids, you learn so much how hard it is and how hard you have to sacrifice for your own kids and make sure they're good kids for one, and make sure they're, you know, you raise them properly and make sure they're very respectful. And they've done such a good job of that, of making sure they're raising really good kids. They raised four good kids, and they did it being funny. They did it being mean. I think my parents are very witty, very funny, but they're also good parents, and they raised all four of us really well. And I think that's the most important thing for us, to always be respectful no matter what, who it is. And when you're in a work environment, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And I think that's the most important thing, is saying good morning, you know, saying the thank yous if you get something too. And I think they did that. And but I think the car rides too, going from practice and going from home, just having conversations with them that, you know, probably 12 or 15 year old probably doesn't want to have, but I think you learn so much from that. And like I said, they've been great parents. They've been so supportive over my career. They've been there since day one for me. They sacrificed a lot of weekends for me to, you know, live out that dream. And now I get the opportunity to sacrifice them to come watch me play and do the things I love to do, which is play in the NHL. And I think that's the most important thing.
Obviously, you being a dad, and now I see a girl dad too, Goldie. And you've obviously been around a lot of families in Tampa. Everybody had a kid who was 2 or 3 years old. And there's a picture I wanted to show you of you dressed up at, I think, McDonough's son's birthday party.
Yeah.
Buzz Lightyear is Pat Maroon, cool outfit. So, I mean, obviously, it's pretty hot, I'm sure, that day. But just, what do you remember about that day and kind of how this all kind of came to be, where you were, where you get the costume anyways, you know?
I think the McDonough's got the costume, and they asked me if I wanted to be Buzz for, I think it was Murph's birthday. And they asked me, and I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll do that. And it's all about the kids. And like I said, guys, I'm like a funny guy. I'll do anything. And I try to, you know, and I love all the kids. I think, you know, being around families, being around kids, and watching them smile and watching them, you know, get a kick out of it. But yeah, Buzz was doing a lot of slides that day. I was in the pool with the costume. I was going down slides, going down the water tank. But we had a wonderful day that day, and I'm glad it made, you know, all these kids smile.
You were Santa Claus too in St. Louis, you said? Like, how did that kind of come?
They needed someone to deliver presents, and we went to Tyler Bozak's house, and they asked me if I can be Santa Claus. I said, yeah, I'll be Santa Claus. So they didn't know. And I think I did a good job and brought some presents. And then I left and then I changed. I came back and all the kids were like, why is Francesca here? Why weren't you here? But I'm sure they knew, but hopefully they didn't know. But yeah, I'm willing to do whatever.
That's funny. A couple more minutes with you, Pat. It seems like just watching your social media, I mean, you have a lot of friends away from the game too, a lot of famous friends. What do you like away from the ice? What do you like to do and all that type of stuff?
Well, I love golfing. I think golfing's a big thing of mine, but I enjoy everything. Going to concerts. Yeah, I love going to concerts. I think for me, we try to make time to go in the summer to have some concerts and do all that good stuff. And I've met a lot of people in my game and in this game, in this industry, and I've been fortunate enough to, you know, get close to some of them. So I think to have that connections, and I think this is a game where, you know, where you play, but you want to make those connections too. But yeah, we love concerts. Me and my wife love concerts. We love going to them, and you know, we try to make the most of it.
Speaking of concerts, I talked to former teammates today. Asked questions to you, and they wanted to know about "Letter Cry." Was that becoming your go-to song? And do you remember what was the most memorable part of singing it at the Cup celebration at Eddie V's? I think you had a solo performance there.
I did have a solo performance at Eddie V's, and I can't bring it to you because I might have been a little drunk. But Hootie and the Blowfish is my favorite band. Tracy Chapman, they're both 1A, 1B. But yeah, Hootie's been my favorite band since I was a young kid, and Letter Cry has been my all-time favorite song. So that's my go-to karaoke song.
Yeah. I still have this recollection of, like, years ago flying to Raleigh from Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden I look right across from me, and there's Darius Rucker, and I was like, just absolute starstruck. I just want to ask you, you've played with some incredible players at all your stops, and most recently guys like Kucherov, Point, Stamkos, Tarasenko, and St. Louis. you haven't gotten a chance yet in training camp to skate with Kaprizov in practice, but you did skate it with him in the captain's practices. A lot of Wild fans just want to know, like, you know, with all your stars that you've played with, where do you put him up already, and what do you think separates him from a lot of them?
Well, you're putting me on the spot. Oh man. I think he's a hell of a player. I think he's got a tremendous upside to his game. He's fast. He uses his edge work really well. He sees the game really well. He's fast. He can make plays, you know, at a high level, and I think a lot of people can't make. I put him up there with all those guys. I think he's only going to get better every single year. And I think that's what's good about all these top end players. They elevate their game every single year, and that's what they want to do. They want to get better each year. And I put him up there with all the top guys in the league, Cooches of the world, the Points of the world, the McDavids, the Dreisaitls, the Crosbys and Malkin, you know, guys that are still Kopi, the guys that still play the game. And you know, there's one thing I noticed about Kirill, he plays the game hard too. He's not afraid to bang his body, throw his body around, get in the corners, and I think that's a unique thing. And and like I said, you know, these top guys want to get better every single year, and these top guys want to win every single year too. I know that. So all these guys have chips on their shoulders to win every single year, because, you know, that's what their end goal is, to lift that Stanley Cup.
And you went in two different places, and I know there's no one recipe or one thing to do it, but fans wanted to also know, is there certain things you've seen from the Wild playing against them and then being around them the last few weeks in terms of how close they are that to stand out to you are ingredients for a Cup team? That kind of, is there any foundation there for like a group that may not be overnight, but they can have a group that can do it?
Yeah, that's one thing, Joe, that a lot of people don't understand or fans. Any team can win a Stanley Cup. And I think that's the best part about the NHL, because we can go in at an 8 seed, you can win a Stanley Cup. And I think a lot of leagues are not like that. You can probably pinpoint who's going to win each year. Like for the NHL, we don't know who's going to win. I think once you're in the playoffs, anyone can win on any given day. And I think that's the best part. Yes, we do have the ingredients to win a Stanley Cup, and that's our goal, is to win a Stanley Cup. I think we have all the top end players. I think we have the skill. We have the defense. You know, we have the goaltending. So there's no reason why we can't do that. I mean, look like a team in Vegas, you know, take them, and they didn't really have a strong regular season, did they? So, I mean, it's any given day. Look at a team like Florida, 8 seed, they go into the Stanley Cup finals. They could have won too, right? So it's about how you play in April, May, and June. That's the most important thing. It's not how you get to the playoffs. I look at it as an 82-game dress rehearsal, and how are we going to fix our game? How are we going to limit the mistakes that we did in the regular season to get us there? Because the ice does shrink. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are our top guys willing to sacrifice to dump the puck in, you know, when we need to dump the puck in during crunch time? Are we willing to block a shot? Are we willing to get the puck out? Are we willing not to make the extra play? I think that's what defines championship teams. And also, it's all off the ice, too. Come together as a group, and I think making sure everyone feels comfortable away from the rink, and when they come to the rink, they feel like they can play. And that's with the young guys, older guys, no matter what. And I think it starts off the ice, and it brings together. Because you feel comfortable off the ice, you're going to feel more comfortable on the ice. And I think that's the most important thing. But it's the end goal is to win a Stanley Cup, and that's what we're here for, is to win. Any team can win. And I have full belief in this group, and that we can go out there and win it this year. And I think that's a unique thing about the NHL. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to win it. And obviously they have the rankings every year, but sometimes the rankings never pan out to be they are. So.
Usually not. By the way, you have any great outfits planned for opening night? Or you are one of the greatest dressed NHL players.
I don't know. I have to go get a new suit because I can't recycle the same ones.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Pat, really looking forward to covering you. I know Joe's had the pleasure in the past, but, you know, really excited to cover you in this sweater. And we'll talk to you a lot this season.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep, that is Pat Maroon, and here's a word from one of our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Well, my thanks to Pat Maroon and Joe Smith for joining this week's episode of Straight from the Source. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the episode. As you know, The Athletic has podcast throughout our platform. And unfortunately, though, our final The Athletic Hockey Show Roundtable with Rob Pizzo, Jesse Granger, and myself will be published on Wednesday on The Athletic Podcast Network. And wherever you download podcasts, I've done the show for a year. It was absolutely awesome and fun to do every single week. And Rob Pizzo from CBC is just a gem and one of the most polished broadcasters I've ever met. And everybody knows Jesse Granger, our incredible Vegas Golden Knights reporter. Unfortunately, though, that podcast is ending and you can listen to the final one on Wednesday. You can also subscribe to The Athletic NHL's YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheAthleticHockeyShow. So again, youtube.com/TheAthleticHockeyShow. Special thanks again to Pat Maroon and Joe Smith. I'm Michael Russo from Straight from the Source. We'll be back soon. Thanks, everybody.